quarter, keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Dynasty Wall Street Podcast. I am Kevin Cotillo, and Riley, what holiday is it, buddy?
Well, we just passed Easter, and I actually don't know what's coming next.
It's like the fifth National Beer Day of the year.
Oh, sure.
It is actually National Beer Day for those of you listening at home. So
seriously, Riley obviously that day feels like it comes like once a month, right?
I do think there are more than one National Beer Days. It's probably National Beer Day, International Beer Day. Each state probably has a beer day. I'm sure there's lots and lots of beer days. Any day is a good day to drink beer, in my opinion, unless you're Riley, who, you know, gets violently ill when he drinks beer. So, you know. What's up, fellas? Welcome to Dynasty Wall Street.
So soon?
Yeah, I'm happy to be back, boys. This is good. Getting on a nice regular schedule here.
Bosch finally convinced us that we should record more than once a quarter, so here we are again. Since we just did an episode, I'm sure I don't have to explain the rules to you, but just for those of you who might be tuning in for the first time, we talk about player values. We're going to use the trade calculator that you can find on dynastytradecalculator.com. We will use values from 12-team Superflex scoring on the calculator, and we are going to talk about a running back, a wide receiver, and a tight end tonight. And since apparently Bosch wants me to always start the show off, I have the running back and no quarterback this week, so I'll go first. The guy I'm going to bring to the table tonight is a gentleman who should be coming into his own this year by the name of one Jonathan Taylor. Mr. Jonathan Taylor comes in on the trade calculator at a whopping 47.7. This is, again, remind you, 12-team Superflex. In pick value, that is the equivalent of just a shade under, and this surprised me, Bosch, the 101, which is actually valued at 50.8.
That's not surprising at all, because you're not giving up Trevor Lawrence for Jonathan Taylor.
So you take the 101, hands down, no question.
Easily. Give me the quarterback.
All right. Yep. Riley's got a different look on his face. I think he's thinking about it. It's because Trevor Lawrence isn't his number one, which he told us in last show.
Mac Jones, baby. It's close. I think I'll still ride out the 101 because someone will pay a haul for Trevor Lawrence. So I love Jonathan Taylor, but I'll take Trevor Lawrence at this point.
What's it take you to get off the 101 at this point?
I mean, throw me a second, and it'll be pretty tough not to turn down Jonathan Taylor in a second-round pick.
So Taylor in a second probably gets it done? I think you're right on that. It's close for me, but I think you're right. I think you probably get a little bit more, and I'll kind of go through why as we get into some of the other stuff a little bit later. Why I might not take the 101 or why I might take the 101 here. But anyway, let's go through some players. We're going to go in order like you guys did last time since I appreciated that. We're going to go one by one, and we're going to talk about each one. So maybe we've got a new format going here, but I'm going to start off with Saquon Barkley. So Saquon Barkley or Jonathan Taylor in a straight up one for one, Bosch, we'll start with you.
I'll take Taylor. Yeah. Right now, Taylor, the only running back I would even consider taking above Taylor right now is Christian McCaffrey. So unless you ask Christian McCaffrey, my answer for the entire list, Kevin, is Jonathan Taylor.
Well, let's see as we go down the list. But go ahead, Riley.
I'll take Jonathan Taylor. No question.
All right. Yeah, I actually think I take Jonathan Taylor too in this one. I don't know if it would be the same for all outside of McCaffrey. McCaffrey is the second guy on my list, Bosch. So it sounds like you'd still take McCaffrey over Taylor.
I would take McCaffrey over Taylor. I think McCaffrey offers a much higher upside this year. I think next year you ask me this, I think the answer is Jonathan Taylor. He's my running back one for next year. I don't see Christian McCaffrey and Saquon staying above him. I don't see Kamara staying above him. I won't ruin all the running backs. You know, of the last year rookies, Jonathan Taylor has the highest value upside. So, yeah, he's my 102 right now for running backs, and he's not far behind Christian McCaffrey. In the right circumstances, I would give up Christian McCaffrey for Jonathan Taylor and just a little bit. Like, if I'm not competing or something, I would be looking to turn Christian McCaffrey to Jonathan Taylor now.
I have a little bit different mindset when it comes to Christian McCaffrey. I don't think he's going anywhere just due to his pass catching upside, and I think 2020 was a bit of an anomaly when it comes to his health, so I think he should be fine. I'm going to take McCaffrey over Taylor, but I don't think McCaffrey's going anywhere in the next 4 to 5 years. So I'm
four to five? Good Lord.
Probably
I can't
not.
Think that long for a running back.
He's already been in the league, what, 4 years? When was the last time you saw a running back last 8 years of,
I think,
of that
Adrian
kind of high quality?
Peterson. And that was
even,
it.
Even him, eight years?
I think McCaffrey is this era's Matt Forte. He will hang around for a long time and just give you consistent. I mean,
I'm not disputing. I think he will hang around, but I think
it'll
value,
fluctuate a little bit. But I don't think he's going to drop drastically at all.
It's not going.
It's a running back. He's going to go.
It's
going
to drop
easily. I agree with Bosch on that. I'm close on this. I might take Taylor. I really think Taylor's going to be very solid this year. And we'll see what happens with Carolina and what happens with McCaffrey this year. But because of what John just said, with McCaffrey's value only going down, I don't think, I mean, he's not going to be the RB1. Maybe he gets it going into next year. That's it. That's that's absolutely the best case scenario, is he is RB1 going into next year. From there, it's all downhill. So, and I think Taylor's got a chance to supplant him as RB1 next year if he has a really good season, given what I think that offense can do. So I'm definitely on board with, it's kind of a wash for me. So if you take Taylor, I'm certainly not going to kill you for it. Just to keep you guys honest here, the calculator has McCaffrey at 49.6 and Barkley at 46.5. As we said, Taylor comes in at 47.7. So, you know, kind of right in line with what we're saying here. So because I was kind of the mindset of John in that there aren't many other running backs that you'd take over Taylor, I kind of went in a different direction with our guys, even though we don't usually do that. So a close comp here to the 47.7, Lamar Jackson, 48.5. In a super flex league, are you taking Lamar Jackson or Jonathan Taylor? Riley, what about you?
I'll go Lamar Jackson. Lamar's rushing upside on a weekly basis is not upside, his floor.
Eight or 9 points from your running back is not what's going to win you a league, but okay, congratulations. Enjoy starting J.D. McKissick.
It is if you get 40 from Lamar every week.
You can get away with it. 40 from Lamar. I'll go the other way, and I'll say I'll find a quarterback like Ben Roethlisberger, throw him in my starting lineup, and then start Jonathan Taylor. And I'm going to bet that the combination of Ben and Jonathan Taylor outscores the combination of Lamar and McKissick on a week-to-week basis.
Well, I use McKissick as the first guy because my player may or may not play for the Redskins. Washington. Correct.
So I'll say, just because my general practice is to, in 12-team, kind of be less concerned about the quarterback spot, I will probably take Jonathan Taylor there. Value-wise, I think it's probably safer to take Lamar Jackson, but in practice, what I do is this. I would rather start Tom Brady and Jonathan Taylor than Lamar Jackson and the running back 20-whatever.
Hypothetical question. What about Nyheim Hines, who catches a few balls a week, runs a little bit? He was an RB2 for most of the season.
Don't care about Nyheim Hines. God, so many people seem to love him, and I'm just okay. He doesn't have any value to me.
Value. I mean, don't be crazy. Nah, he's a good RBE. You know,
not to the point
RB3.
That some people are like, oh, he's so good. He's so good. And I'm like, go try and trade him and see what you get.
I don't care if he's good, but he did catch 63 passes this year.
Yeah. Yeah. He still doesn't carry any dynasty value. He doesn't carry much dynasty value.
On a week-to-week basis, there's a chance that he scores. And I'll grant, again, I'm still with you, Bosch, but there's a chance that he scores as much as Tom Brady. I mean, there just is.
Nahi Mines?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's
maybe that's a little crazy.
I'll take that bet, Kevin.
So there you go. Yeah, I know. That's why I said I go with you because Tom Brady and Jonathan Taylor beat Nyheim Hines and
yeah.
I mean Tom Brady and who are we talking about?
Tom Brady, Jonathan Taylor beat Lamar
Jonathan
Jackson.
Jonathan Taylor beat Lamar Jackson and Nyheim Hines.
I mean, I'm just saying, had 860 yards and 7 touchdowns and 63 catches? It's Hines.
But they brought back Marlon Mack.
They did bring back Marlon Mack. I don't know what to think of Marlon Mack. I don't know what to think of that. I don't know. I don't know who's going to back up Taylor. I'm not worried about Taylor. I love him.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Taylor, if we're talking Taylor or Lamar Jackson, I'll take Lamar.
Here's the thing with Lamar, and the only reason I would consider taking Lamar in that situation is because if Jonathan Taylor absolutely balls out this year and overtakes Christian McCaffrey as the number one guy, McCaffrey's 49.6. He's not getting higher than that. No. If Lamar goes back to MVP form, he's easily high 50s, maybe 60s. I mean,
he's Josh Allen. Josh Allen's at right now.
Maybe
he's not somewhere. He's not Mahomes.
He's probably somewhere in between Mahomes and Allen, in my opinion, because there's a lot of Allen haters out there. So I just think there is definitely better peak value with Lamar than there is with Jonathan Taylor. So, all right, let's keep going here. The next one up is Justin Jefferson, who's a 46.7. So just 1 point below Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, wow. Whoa, nope. We're ready. Riley's ready, so we'll go. All right.
I'll go Taylor.
No question, huh?
Not really. I can find wide receivers who are going to produce.
You just said you can find quarterbacks that can produce.
He can find anybody.
He can find running backs.
Riley can find anything but running backs. Wait, no, he can find running backs, he said. He can find running backs.
It's weird. I win a lot of third place titles. So just watch out. I give great advice.
Might be the best line you've ever said on this podcast.
Yes, because, I mean, I feel like I can go out and get Robert Woods for cheap or Cole Beasley for a quarter of that. And it's hard to find the elite running backs.
It is hard to find the elite running backs. This one's a tough decision for me because I really like both of them. I'm probably going to have to do the fence riding here and say if I'm competing, give me the running back because, like Riley said, the stud running back is harder to replace. So if I'm trying to win in 2021, I want the running back. If I don't think this is the year I'm going to win, I want the wide receiver because obviously I'd always take the wide receiver over a running back in Dynasty. It just works out way, way better.
Yeah, I think I like your move there, Bosch, but I would take Taylor in this regard because I think at the very least, even if I'm not necessarily – I mean, if I'm on the cusp of winning or even if I think, you know, I have a slight chance of making the playoffs, I want Taylor on my roster to give me that boost to try and get there. And then I also think midseason you'll get more for – Taylor than you will for Jefferson. At least I think. I don't know.
That's probably true. That's
maybe
probably
I'm
a good
wrong,
way to look at it too.
So I'd probably take Taylor in that regard. And, you know, again, unless you're looking at a very long term rebuild and you're already in that process where you know it's going to be a few more years, that's
you should
probably
never
when
have a rebuild that will take you a few years, by the way, folks.
Two years.
2 years is the max it should take.
All right, here's the last one I've got for you, and it's two players. And this one was just, I don't know, it just kind of blew my mind a little bit. But if you have Taylor, you can, for almost nothing else, let's call it a late fourth, you could get...
That's a lot.
Yeah, well, right, in Riley's mind, that's a lot. You could get Justin Fields and Kyle Pitts.
I'll take Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, man, I'm probably going to take Fields and Pitts here. I'm a Justin Fields fan and I'm a Kyle Pitts fan. So I'm probably going to take the two assets because I think both of them can reach the status of where Jonathan Taylor is right now. I think by this time next year, both Fields and Pitts have that chance to be up there. And so it only takes one of them to be actually good enough as a rookie to really climb the ranks. So I'll take the shot that one of them does it and the other one does well enough to at least maintain. And then I've won a little bit at least, with the upside of they both actually come out and look good in year one, and then I've really crushed the deal.
Yeah, this is tough for me. I think I probably take. I had time to think about this too, and I still haven't come to an answer. I think I probably take the two guys as well. I don't know. Like Riley says, it's really hard to get those elite running backs. But you're talking about two guys that are going to, at minimum, be insulated in value for at least a year, if not get more value. And I just think that you can do a lot with those. I mean, I think I got to take those two guys. I just do. Riley, why'd you said Taylor quickly. We didn't really get into why.
Yeah, I mean, I do love Justin Fields. I think he's going to be awesome. I like Kyle Pitts a lot as a player, but the hype is so off the rails right now. I mean, I could probably flip him for somebody, but I don't want to bank on for a big return. I'll take Jonathan Taylor. It's a great package. If you can get that or are comfortable with it, by all means, go ahead. I probably wouldn't take Kyle Pitts mid-first. I would probably rather go a running back. I don't know. That deal could screw you big time. So especially if Fields sits for a little bit, doesn't play up to his potential. Maybe he's on a Sam Darnold level where he's got the talent but just can't seem to quite put it together. And then Kyle Pitts could take, you know, 2 or 3 years to do something, you know, big time. Where, I mean, he could be Noah Fant level. But I'm not trading Jonathan Taylor for a rookie quarterback with upside and Noah Fant. I mean, no, I'll take Jonathan Taylor.
Would you trade the 109 and the 103 for the 101?
No, I would not. I would rather have the
I would not either. Oh, three, I would rather have the 101. Maybe I misunderstood how he was answering. I'll take Trevor Lawrence over the 103 and 109.
I was just thinking, so I started this off by saying obviously the 101 is the only pick higher than that, than, you know, Jonathan Taylor here, and you're looking at, you know, Fields and Pitts probably maybe 108, 103, maybe 109, 102, somewhere in that range.
107,
right?
107. But we aren't there yet, so maybe we'll talk about this in a little bit.
I guess we will. All right, well, that'll do it for the running backs then. I appreciate you letting me take you down this journey, and John, I think you're up next. Nope.
False.
Riley is up next with the wide receiver.
Riley's up next with the Washington football team player, the newly signed wide receiver, Curtis Samuel. Somebody who I'm really not sure what to think of right now, so I'm interested to see where we stack him with some other receivers and some picks.
Like,
he comes in at a value of 15.6 on the calculator, which is roughly equivalent to the 110 in Superflex formats, of course, which comes in at about a 15. So right off, Curtis Samuel, is 110 enough?
I'll take the 110. Look, I like Curtis Samuel. I have had him on teams. I still have him on teams. I've never moved away from him. So if you're telling me I can get the 110 for him, I will be sending out offers after this podcast, because I would love to get a first-round pick for Curtis Samuel. I'm not paying a first-round pick for Curtis Samuel.
Kevin, what about you?
I think I'll probably take the 110 because it'll hold more of it.
I was
value.
Really hoping Kevin would say Curtis Samuel. He's gonna be the first person I sent offers to.
There's no way, Bosh. You know that any league that you, I probably have caught it Curtis Samuel anyway. So
we do share him a lot, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so hearing that, I'm in agreement. I would rather have the 110 as well. What's the cut line? Is it 112, 201? What would you pay? What's your pay?
Bosh said he wouldn't do it. Wouldn't give a first for him. 112's probably, it's, so for me, it's definitely like 201 range at worst, right? Maybe if I'm really, you know, I think maybe like mid-season or something, or after the draft is done, you might be able to get into that first range for next year. But That's probably it.
Yeah, for me, I'm paying 204 or less because there are roughly 15 guys in this class who I really like and think have a chance to become or to rise in value over the next 12 to 15 months. After that, it kind of gets rough where then, yeah, I'll take Curtis Samuel, but, you know, he's probably going to be the third option in the offense. Who's going to play quarterback? Fitzmagic, great. I'll pass on that. So I'll pay a early mid-ish second.
Who's that 15th guy? You said there's roughly 15 guys that you're looking at, right?
Yep. So we have.
You don't need to name them all.
I'm not. They're quarterbacks, the three running backs, the five receivers, and the three tight ends. That's essentially it.
But who's that last? So, who's the last player on that list that you say I am not trading Curtis Samuel for this rookie?
Elijah Moore. So the Ole Miss receiver is kind of the cut line where I'd rather have Samuel over Moore, but then everybody else above him, I'll take the player.
Okay. All right. Carry on.
Oh, sorry. I forgot I was it. Anyways.
You're leading this one, Riley.
Moving on. My bad. I was like, that's weird. Why is he not saying anything? Yeah, Kev was asking the question, so I was off right there. I kind of like the format of, you know, going of ranking. Oh, okay, never mind. We can do whatever.
Oh, no, do whatever you want to do. If you want us to rank them, go for it.
It's an interesting tier, so yeah, screw it, rank. So we're going to compare Curtis Samuel to Cooper Kupp, DJ Chark, Michael Pittman, and Deebo Samuel.
This is a tier that litters a lot of my rosters.
Again,
these are Kevin's like wide receiver ones.
These are all of my wide receiver ones.
They are not my wide receiver ones, but they are on my team on a lot of them.
If I have Kupp on a roster, I'm pretty excited, to be quite honest. I was like, you know.
How did I throw Kupp in here for Kevin? Such a good wide receiver.
I think for me, I think Kupp's probably first on the list. I think he's clearly ahead of these guys. So who do we have? We had Kupp, Shark, Pittman,
Deebo Samuel, and Curtis Samuel.
Oh, Deebo. Okay, that's why I wrote Samuel, and I was
did
confused
the same
with
thing
myself
before the
because,
show.
Yeah.
I wrote Deebo. So good.
That's a good move. That's a good move. All right. So I'm at Kupp as one. I think I like Shark at two.
Those are my top two as well, but reversed.
Okay. And then I'm probably Deebo, Pittman, Samuel.
I go Deebo, Curtis Samuel, Pittman. So not terribly different here.
Well, Riley's different. What do you know?
Shocker.
I have Kupp first because obviously he's clearly the best receiver on this list. Not even a question. I think he's a little bit undervalued in the calculator, so another conference call is coming with the boys. I have Michael Pittman at two. I think we see a...
You love yourself some
I Pittman, do love Pittman.
You?
I think he's going to take a big jump this year with...
Do you love him because of your original thoughts on him, or do you love him for something from 2020? Or the signing of Carson Wentz. Is that what it is?
Carson Wentz, not so much. I mean, he's more of an upgrade than Phillip Rivers. But I do think Pittman is a very good receiver, and I think he flashed the ability to. He had some trouble staying on the field, rookie year, learning the playbook. I think we have some nice things coming. Could he be a is he going to be a top 5 or 10 dynasty wide receiver? Probably not. But I think he's going to...
Nobody on this list.
Correct.
Though, so.
Except for Cooper Kupp. He's already there. I think...
Cooper Kupp has such little dynasty value. Have you guys tried trading him away?
No, I...
He's a guy that I want to go add to all my contending teams. Because when I've tried to trade him off of non-contending teams, people are like, I got no interest in Cooper Kupp.
I have him in a couple spots, and I'm not really shopping him. I don't really think I want to.
Try it.
I don't want it. I don't want to sell him.
People are like, I'll give you a mid-second.
Oh.
I'm like,
I'd need...
I think I'll just keep Cooper Kupp then.
I mean, I'd... Like... I don't want to say what I need to sell him away for, because I want to go make offers after the show. I mean, he's...
Well, Kevin's not getting this out for a couple of days.
That's true. I mean, heck, I'd want a mid-first if I was going to sell him.
You're not getting a mid-first for Cup. You're crazy.
Well, I mean, who else are you going to take?
What would you give for him?
I'd give a late first plus a second.
Oh, man. I got to find out if you're in any of the leagues I have and where I'd like to get rid of
him. I mean, what else am I going to get out of the late first?
A much younger wide receiver?
I don't care. I mean, Cup's not 30. So reasons that that I really like Michael Pittman for this year. I mean, one, I think he showed a lot last year. I think he has the potential to be that, you know, 1A, 1B receiver in the offense. He and T.Y. Hilton are an excellent, like, 1-2 bunch. Love it. Carson Wentz is going to come in being able to, you know, fire the ball downfield a little bit, which is where Pittman excels. So I think it's going to be a little bit of an upgrade this year. I expect a lot more touchdowns. I think he just had one in his rookie year, but should he be able to stay on the field? I think we're going to see a big rise out of Pittman. Then I have Deebo Samuel at 3. I think Deebo's a better version of Curtis Samuel in a better offense. So I see no reason to have Deebo below Curtis Samuel. Then I have DJ Chark at 4 and then Curtis Samuel at 5. If Washington trades up and, you know, makes a splash at quarterback, maybe that changes and I swap. But DJ's going to have Trevor Lawrence throwing him the ball, so, I mean, he can't be that bad. So I'll take DJ at 4, but... yeah, Cup, Pittman, Deebo, Chark, Curtis.
So you're a lot down, further down on Chark than Bosch and I are, huh?
Yeah, I think LaVisca's got a really nice chance to shine this year. I think he's going to be the slot mid-area guy, and I think Trevor's going to want to rely on that as a rookie. So maybe I could be wrong, but I mean, I think Marvin Jones is going to stretch the field. DJ Chark stretches the field, so I think LaVisca's going to be that short to mid-area guy. I think he's going to thrive. We'll see. I don't know. That's an interesting offense that I'm excited to watch. I think it could be sneaky good. But I'd rather...
Imagine being excited about the Jags offense. How weird is
what
that?
What a difference a year makes.
I don't watch enough college football to pretend to know anything about Urban Meyer or what he favors. But if I remember correctly, he does like guys that can do a lot of different things on the field. So a guy like, you know, LaVisca could be useful being, you know, lined up all over. So I could see that.
Right. Or Curtis Samuel shined under the Urban Meyer-esque offense. So
right.
Maybe LaVisca shines and takes a little bit away from Chark. Maybe not. I think he'll probably both be about the same value this time next year. Maybe Visca a little bit more, but they'll be close.
All I know is you guys were wrong on James Robinson. That's all I know.
Not yet. I'd sell him. I'd sell him now.
All right.
I haven't paid up to acquire him, shockingly.
Riley, what else you got on wide receivers? Anything?
That's it.
All right, Bosch, you're up. Tight ends. Is it Kyle Pitts or no?
It is Riley's favorite prospect of all time, the best prospect he has ever seen.
Overrated.
It is Kyle Pitts. Because I know Riley hates him. So we're going to talk about this, why he is so overrated. You can hate the value.
I like the player. Hate the value.
That should not factor in at all to him being overrated.
Wait, before we get into anything, Riley... Have you rated him as a wide receiver? Where would he fit in your wide receiver rankings?
No, because he's a fucking tight end. You can bleep that or whatever. I don't care. He is a tight end. He's 6'6", 240. What?
Which
That's
is good.
Great.
We need,
he's a tight
need
end.
Tight
he's not
ends
a receiver.
In
he's
fantasy
not a receiver.
Football.
So I'm but, so right. tired of the...
We need to start what?
Can
at
we
least
stop
one
calling
those.
Him Calvin Johnson? No one will be Megatron.
Who has called him Calvin Johnson?
Open up the bird app, man.
Two people on Twitter that have made Riley mad.
Yes. Oh, I mean, I get heated when people call him Calvin Johnson. He's a tight end, which is fine. So I'm not going to stack him with receivers.
Yes.
But
he's a tight end.
Go ahead. Oh, wait. He's a tight end. I agree.
All right. So he comes in at the 107. So let's just start there. The four quarterbacks are gone. The top running back, probably Harris. Maybe it's somebody else if you're Riley. And the top wide receiver, Chase, most likely, are gone. Are you taking Kyle Pitts at the 107? Riley,
I'll take
107. Right ahead.
Obviously.
Figured. Kevin, what about you?
I think I'm taking the 107 too.
All right, so who are you guys taking at the 107 instead of him?
Javonte Williams, Rashad Bateman, Devonta Smith.
I'd say I'd probably be more in the Smith category than the other two guys, Bateman maybe, but I just don't. I mean, I'd love to say I don't know enough about Javonte Williams, although the value seems to be increasing on a regular basis. So as we get closer to the draft and rookie draft season, I feel like he's a guy that I would consider because inherently running backs have better rookie value than any other position. So if I can take him and he produces and I can flip him for Kyle Pitts plus, I would do that in a heartbeat. So I think just the pick, I don't know. I don't like taking tight ends in the first round.
Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. I've never loved you more than right now.
The problem is, if you don't take him there, you're not getting him. Whether you think you can flip Javonte Williams for him or not next year, I don't think that's going to happen. You can look at Dynasty Trade Calculator, and this is the conversation that I had with Izzy on Twitter. Everybody says, oh, well, tight end, you can buy him at a discount after year one. You actually can't. Maybe in your league, yes. Okay, in your league, you did. You saw it. It happens. That's fine. In general, which I think is what the trade calculator reflects, the value on guys like Hockenson, Fant, they don't go down after their first year. Like, they don't actually drop. And I'm pretty sure that the calculator is supposed to be a reflection of, like, the average value of a player. So, yes, maybe in your league, everybody gives up on tight ends, and somebody will take Kyle Pitts, and then be like, oh, a year later, they don't like him. Seems unlikely, but maybe in your league, that'll happen. In general, I don't think that actually happens. This is some narrative out there that you can get these tight ends at a discount after they disappoint in year one. Everybody has heard this argument now. Like, even lesser degenerate players are aware that tight ends don't produce in their first year. So they probably don't expect it. I mean, maybe there will be some. Yes, in your league, that's fine. But I think in general, you know, when you're looking at a large sample, I don't think that people are investing in Kyle Pitts in year one expecting him to be a stud or they're going to get rid of him. Is that the read you guys get? Or do you think people are investing that highly in him only to get rid of him if he's not Travis Kelce in his rookie year?
No, I mean, I think the book's out on that move, right? But I don't know that you need to do it right after year one either. And I do think year two, like, think of what you could, I mean, I think you can get Fant for cheaper than you paid for him in a rookie year. I think you can get Hockenson for cheaper than you paid for him in a rookie year right now.
You think?
No, no, no.
That,
I would say that. I would say.
Look at, this is what I'm saying. This is why I looked, if you look at the calculator and you look at their historical value trend, it hasn't gone down on Fant.
What do you have to pay to get Fant right now?
Mid to late first. Late first.
Late first, right? He was easy at mid first when in the draft. Right? 106 maybe?
He went 107? He went 108.
Was it 8? All right, I guess I was thinking of him as 106. So maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. I feel like at some point, but the other part of this is, I don't have to get Pitts back. I could take the 107 and get Mark Andrews, whose value is depressed all of a sudden for some reason, or someone, one of the other tight ends who's a little bit cheaper right now that I think is fine. Tight ends are I almost value them less than wide receivers, Bosch, which you know on my rosters is scary. So I'll just take the pick.
So you asked about what it would take to get Fant right now. So I'm trying to pull up his historical value because I don't know it off the top of my head, even though I looked at it.
Question to chew on while Bosch is finding this. Right now, would you guys rather have David Montgomery or Noah Fant?
Man, Montgomery keeps coming up for me lately. I would probably take
pretty close, right?
Montgomery.
Pretty close.
But I'm very nervous that.
So this.
Yeah, it's pretty
2 years.
It's pretty close.
We will be asking, would you rather have Javonte Williams or Kyle Pitts? That will be the same question as Montgomery Fant. Both going to be close. They'll both produce. Just as food for thought.
Yeah, but here's the difference there, Riley. If you had held on for Montgomery for the last 2 years, you got way more production out of him than you did.
Agreed. Doesn't hurt my case.
So I mean, that's
right.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's our argument, right? You got way more production in those 2 years, and now they're similar.
That's
value.
What I'm saying. But I don't know. I mean, the only reason to take Pitts early this year is to just bank on somebody selling the farm. That's it. Now, if he comes,
or because he actually is good.
Oh, I think he's good.
You do believe that he's good.
I do believe he's good.
So maybe you actually end up having an actual stud tight end.
But he's no better than Noah Fant or Hockenson.
Is he really? Like, are your grades for Fant and Pitts, were they similar?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, all the top three tight ends. Sorry, Kevin. We keep cutting you off because your computer almost died. We're pissed. All three of the big tight ends, the top three in this class, they're all very similarly graded for me. They're all right around the same spot. So they all bring something a little different to the table, which is the fun part about this class. But I'd rather have Noah Fant right now over Kyle Pitts.
Okay, well, we'll get there.
Sorry.
We will get
jumping
there.
Jumping the gun.
Because obviously we're going to talk about that. So we did talk about Fant real fast. I will say his initial value was 10. Then it jumped to 11 just because I think there's always like a slight correction factor after they initially load players. So basically he started at an 11. He has never been below an 11 on the calculator, ever. He's currently at about, it looks like maybe 14, maybe 13 and a half to 14. So he's never dipped below the 11.
How quickly can you pull up David Montgomery?
I mean, his I can give you his 12 months for David Montgomery. It went from 15 to now it says 18, about. I don't know what his initial value was. David Montgomery feels like he was probably at least an 18 when he was drafted. Because there were some people that had him as like the running back one, I believe. All right, so let's measure. We're going to do it one by one down the tight end ranks. Riley, I'm guessing, is going to be never Pitts, it sounds like, because he hates him. He's terrible, according to Riley. I mean, you said you like him. The only thing you don't like is the cost that it will take to acquire him. Unfortunately, Riley, sometimes you just have to pay the price if you like the player. That's just the way it goes sometimes.
I took Bruce Anderson at 206.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
I understand that concept.
That was a mistake.
I still hate you for that, bastard.
I'm pretty sure I got... I'm
oh,
pretty
sure, sorry, you burned
I'm
a fourth.
I'm pretty sure I was just going to say, I think I had him on every roster, but not at the cost of a 206.
Worth a
I
shot,
think I spent
man.
A lot of fourths on him. All right, so I think the top here is going to be fairly easy. Kittle, like, it's still Kittle.
Still Kittle.
Kelsey?
Yes.
Still Kelsey.
Kelsey.
This is already now where it gets a little questionable for me. So Darren Waller, Kyle Pitts.
I'll take Waller.
Darren Waller. I won't answer.
It's still Waller for me for now. But I honestly, I do think Pitts will end up being like the tight end two
where is he
next
gonna,
year.
Where does
and
he
if
get
he
drafted?
Does, if he, I don't know.
Does it
I don't
matter?
Know yet.
Can you pull up Darren Waller's
I don't play that game.
Historical value?
Does it matter? Well, Darren Waller went to like zero for a while there. So,
yeah.
No, I'm definitely not pulling up his historical values. So, where does Pitts get drafted? I mean, a tight end is a position that can – there's nobody that doesn't need production from their tight end spot. I mean, yes, if he goes to San Francisco or Kansas City or Baltimore or Las Vegas, like if he goes to a place that already has one of these other elite tight ends – then that probably hurts both of them. But that's not
kind of my
happen.
Point. I mean, obviously better prospect or at least a higher valued prospect than Goddard was, but Goddard went to Philadelphia with Zach Ertz and both of their values depressed a little bit. Right. So
yes.
I'm just throwing it out there as something to consider. Yeah.
I mean, that's a really small amount of teams that he could go where there is somebody else that is probably better than he is. And that's just right now. Better, obviously, Dallas Goedert kind of took over for Ertz, and Ertz is not even on a team
no,
right
now. He's still
think.
There. I don't think they've technically cut him yet. But anyway, all right. So
okay, I think they know it's coming. All right, so we're down to Waller. You guys both say Waller. I say Waller for now, but I could be persuaded because I would like that clock reset at that position. I do think Pitts overtakes him by next year. TJ Hawkinson's next on the list.
That's tough. That's tough.
Just come back to me last.
I think I still take Hawk.
Oh, Kevin, dude, let's go. I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
I'll take Hawkinson, too.
Close for me. I mean, I know Hawkinson has looked good, but there have been plenty of times he hasn't done much because he's been injured. He's kind of disappeared at times. So
he's got a high chance of a breakout year, though, in my opinion. So
he does. He really does.
He's all they have at this point. He and DeAndre Swift, that's it for Jared Goff, which is good because that's all Jared Goff can support.
Let's hope. Yeah.
Potentially, that would be fun.
All right, Mark Andrews.
I'm taking Andrews.
So am I. You know I love Mark Andrews.
As am I.
I would have Mark Andrews way higher on this list, actually. The next one is Noah Fant.
This is where it gets...
See, Fant and Hawkinson are really close for you, Kevin, and they're the prime examples of the path. Like, they haven't lost value, even though their production's been... I mean, they've been okay. Their production's been okay.
In the real world right now, if you have Pitts on a roster, let's say you had a Devy or something like that, if Pitts is on your roster, there's a chance you could get Hawk Plus or Fant
I think you
Plus.
Probably could.
And I would do that in a heartbeat.
I think you could.
So, I mean, while it's close, I take those guys in a heartbeat plus a little something.
If you're getting something. But you're
so,
not getting
so
that
for
year.
Me, it's
right
really
now,
close. Hawk, I still take. I think I still take Fant too. I just think you're going to get better production this year. So
with Drew,
Listen,
we'll see. You,
I like Drew Lock,
so
you know.
I still don't hate him because he's still for now a starting quarterback. So we'll take it. All right, what about Dallas Goddard?
This is tough for me.
Oh, we're finally.
This is my line. This is my line.
This is the line. This is where I wanted to get to faster. This is easy. This is for me. It's Pitts above everybody else at this point, and I'm really questionable about Waller, Hawk, and Fant.
Let me just say, I'm all about buying Dallas Goedert right now.
I'm
going to take Kyle Pitts though. Goddard I'll take Kyle Pitts.
I like hearing that.
I think
Kyle Pitts
for me. I do.
So tight end starts to get a little sketchy from here, and I mean Goddard, he still isn't like a sure thing.
Here's the thing with Goddard, right? Like, look at them from side by side. If they have these same exact seasons, and it's Pitts and Goddard, right? And it's a bad season,
yeah.
Pitts stays here and Goddard goes down here.
Yeah.
If they have the same season and it's a good season, Pitts goes way up and Goddard stays where he is. So
this is the argument I've made for Kyle Pitts being the first non-quarterback off the board in rookie drafts. He literally can do nothing. I mean, nothing. And people are going to be like, well, this is his first year. He's a tight end. So, you know, his value is more insulated than any player I can ever remember.
Outside of quarterback, yeah.
But, that's what I'm saying. Every non-quarterback, like the running back, there's an expectation of production. The wide receiver, there's an expectation of some production, even if it's not the same level of running back. I mean, we expect our rookie running backs to be starters right away. Wide receivers, we expect that of the top guys. Everybody else, we're like, okay, let's see what happens. Hopefully they'll be involved. Tight end, we have zero expectation of production in year one, even though a bunch of people expect a huge amount of production from Pitts. They probably shouldn't expect that. People do, but they probably shouldn't. So, like, he has almost no downside when you draft him. He could get hurt and not play a down, and his value will not drop between now and next year. Because everybody's like, well, he's a rookie tight end anyways. That's why I don't think you'll be able to get him at a discount. Unless you have somebody that's just not paying attention at all, and for some reason, I don't know why you would cash out on a tight end after year one. People don't do that as much as that narrative says there that it happens. Yes, in one-off situations, you might be able to get a discount on a tight end. In general, I think enough people know that now. All right, so we'll move on. What about Irv Smith?
Oh, I mean, Kyle Pitts.
Okay, Kevin?
Kyle Pitts. Easy, yeah.
Evan Engram. Still Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I mean, these aren't even close now.
This is what really gets me. So the next guy on the calculator, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Number 10. This is how bad. Robert Tonyan. He had a great season.
I'll take Bob here, man. I'll take Bob.
Well, you, no, you won't. I'm just kidding. He had a great season. He is number 10 on the calculator. He has nowhere near the possible value upside of a Kyle Pitts. Like, the gap after Fant feels like it's big to Goddard. I think Goddard and Irv are probably about close. I think there's a little drop than the Ingram. The drop then down to Tonyan, I mean, but these are tight ends you have to start. Unless you're playing in a 9 or 19 league or less, like, you're starting these guys. So that's one reason I don't mind investing, because if I can hit on the tight end, I have gotten to the point where I don't mind paying up for Kelce. I love playing Kelce in leagues. Love it. It feels so damn good. I'm willing to pay for it. I also go the route sometimes where I'll have 4 or 5 crappy tight ends. I'll have Ian Thomas and Gerald Everett and all these garbage guys and be like, well, maybe this will be the week that one of them scores and I actually started them. That's a lot less fun. So if all I have to do is invest the 107 and maybe I get a tight end that I can put in my line. Imagine if you paid the 107 for Kelce. I have no idea what he went for back in the day because I didn't play Dynasty when he was in a rookie draft. But just, I'm okay with investing that if there's a chance I have the upside of that, because the ability to just put in a tight end that scores like a running back or a wide receiver in your lineup, that's so good. And it gives you so much more freedom with your roster. You can spend more money in auctions. You can spend more capital, I should say, to get other positions like running backs, which you need a lot more of. The ability when you get one tight end that is solid feels amazing, rather than trying to be the person that scrapes the Robert Tonyan off the waiver wire and just happens to strike lucky gold.
What's the line of Pitts for, let's call it, you know, an established running back? Not a rookie running back. But we're talking the 107, right? And you got it at, I forget what the value was you said of the 107.
18. It's like 18 or something, so, like that, I think it was.
I mean,
let's see here.
David Montgomery.
The 107, actually, the 107.
I'm looking at the calculator.
Comes in at 20.2. Maybe it's the 108. Maybe I didn't have the settings right.
Interesting enough, Riley, Javonte Williams comes in at 19.3.
It probably is.
With Javonte Williams.
Because, I mean, that's who you're weighing against him. Because for the majority of people right now, the number one running back is not Javonte Williams. But he might be the number two. So there will be a lot of people that weigh Kyle Pitts versus Javonte. Oh, I didn't know if he had, that's why.
It actually is.
They'll weigh Kyle Pitts versus Javonte Williams.
So David Montgomery's the closest non-rookie running back. Maybe Jacobs, but he's 21. So that's up there. So, I mean,
I'll take Jacobs over Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, he's high. He's much higher, but still. So
I think
21.
I think
Pitts,
the
Pitts
consensus
comes in at 21. Actually, I was looking at the wrong number. Yeah.
I don't know. All right. I'm just curious. What's the line of an established vet that you're gonna throw at Pitts or be willing to give up?
Probably right there around that area. I mean, as much as I love David Montgomery, they'd be close. They'd be very close, depending on my other running backs.
I would give up David Montgomery in a heartbeat. That wouldn't even really be an issue. Josh Jacobs, that is a close one, because I do like Josh Jacobs.
Goddamn Kenyon Drake.
I'm not super concerned about. If you're worried about Kenyon Drake still, like,
I just bought Kenyon Drake. I paid a future third.
Yeah, that feels like a good price to spend the fourth.
He's going
to
be a nice insurance. I don't care what you say, Bosch.
I would probably take,
like, Nyheim Hines to Jonathan Taylor.
I would
take
Pitts over Eckler, over James Robinson. I would probably take him over Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'd probably take
Pitts
him over
Josh Jacobs. Wow, man, Pitts over Clyde?
Jesus.
Ouch.
No, Bosch, you're falling in.
I think we need to cut this pod short before we go off the crazy town rails here. So,
hey, you know I like Clyde. I've actually been trying to get
Clyde. We talked about him last episode.
So.
I thought you were high on him. Apparently not as high as Pitts.
I am. I think the value if Pitts has an average rookie year for a tight end, I mean, I'm talking, it won't take much. Let's say he has like 2 to 3, he averages 2 to 3 catches a game, which doesn't sound outlandish, right? I mean, if he gets 40 catches in like 400 to 500 yards and 5 or 6 touchdowns, that doesn't even sound like a very good stat line, right? Like, that seems extremely achievable. If he does that, people are going to go crazy. And if he does anything above that, it's going to be bonkers. And Clyde already, for some reason, people like, I don't know, like, people don't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, even though he had a very nice rookie season.
Let's say Pitts has 40 catches, 562 yards, and 3 touchdowns in his
first season. Is that like O.J. Howard's
Robert
first year Tanyan. Stat line?
Oh. No, right. No offense.
Yes, that's probably why that's in my head, because this is the argument that I had. That was, look, we are big Fant folks here. Nobody here dislikes Fant on this podcast. Ooh. Are you looking up Hockenson's?
Even better. 26 catches, 432 yards, and 6 touchdowns. This is O.J. Howard.
That's O.J. Howard.
This feels like it could be a spot-on stat line for Kyle Pitts' first
season.
And
if he does that, people will be okay with it. People will be okay with it.
But just be aware.
26.
This has a chance.
If you want to set the over-under at 26, I will smash the over on 26.
Riley, what was Thomas' first year?
No, you can go suck a fat one. But just for fun, actually 36 catches, 333 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
There you go.
Not as bad as
more
I thought.
More than O.J. Howard, huh?
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the Dynasty Wall Street podcast. You can check out the show on Twitter at Dynasty Wall Street with an ST for Street. You can check out the John Bosch at John Bosch FF. You can check out Riley at DTC underscore Riley B. You're one of the only people I know that has an underscore still. I am at Kevin Cotillo. We'll be back in, what are we at? July 4th is probably the next time we'll be around if we're sticking with holidays. Otherwise, Bosch will make us back here in a couple of weeks. We'll see you then.
Keep the change. You gotta be cool when you're walking on Wall Street. Like going to school, you'll learn a lot every day. And this is the rule when you're walking on Wall Street. Buy low, sell high, take a piece of the pie. That's the Wall Street way. That's the Wall Street way.